The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Why do we have so many miserable family situations today? What can be done about it? Do you realize that there are a few basic keys that you can use to make your marriage joyous? What are these keys to marital happiness? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith identifies keys to a joyous marriage.
Strong marriages and strong families are the building blocks of any decent society. A society without these building blocks will disintegrate and soon disappear. Yet the United States, Canada, and many of our so-called advanced nations have increasingly miserable families. There is hate and strife. There is massive divorce. And there would be many more divorces, except that millions of young people just live together without benefit of marriage. And government statistics show that women living in these illicit relationships are far more likely to be beaten, to be brutalized, murdered, or injured in some way. What's wrong? How can we build contented and even joyous marriages? As a minister and counselor for over 46 years, I want to give you four keys to help your marriage to become a thing of joy. I've had to experience, because of the death of my first wife, two marriages, and I've learned to get along with two different personalities and had very joyous marriages, each one lasting over 20 years, and my present marriage is very happy indeed. So I've had to learn some of these lessons myself, and I'm still learning them. But these are keys that will work. They're real. Key number one, determine to build a joyous marriage and persevere in it. Think in your own mind, I'm going to make my marriage work and I'm going to keep at it and not give up. And do not leave the great God out of the picture. Remember that your Creator is the one who ordained marriage and family. Have a sense of responsibility to your mate and make your marriage work. Think about your responsibility as you think about your marriage. Think about the responsibility you have to your mate, to your children, to your whole extended family, to the community, in building a strong and successful marriage. And think about your responsibility to the great God, the Creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who gives you life and breath. He is the one who made the ultimate laws regarding marriage. Notice what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said. Let's turn to His teaching, and I hope you'll follow me, my friends. Look these things up. It'll mean a lot more to you. Check me up in your Bible. Prove me. Don't believe me. You believe what you read in the pages of your own Bible. Turn in your New Testament to Matthew. Matthew chapter 19 now, verse 3. The Pharisees came to Jesus, testing Him. They were always trying to trap Jesus in His words. And they said to Him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. When we're fully married and married in God's sight and really mean it, we become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, Jesus Christ said, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And yet millions and countless millions of couples all across the United States, particularly many in Canada, Britain, Australia, and elsewhere, do separate. And many judges and other officials have part in that separation, which is quite often against God's law. Think about it. There is the higher law of heaven that is involved here, and all of us need to think about that and our responsibility to the God that made us and the God who instituted marriage in the first place. They said to Him, why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And then Jesus here sort of corrected them. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, because you were carnal and selfish, and God's Holy Spirit was not offered back at that time in the Old Testament. He said He permitted, He didn't command them to do such a thing. He permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, here's the command of the Son of God, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, fornication, as the King James has it, and marries another, commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it's better not to marry. They said, in effect, being kind of carnal themselves, the disciples didn't have God's Spirit either, remember, till after the day of Pentecost following Jesus' death. And they said, wow, if we're trapped in a marriage like that and we can't get out of it, maybe it's just better not to marry. So Jesus kind of put the monkey back on their back. He said, well, all cannot accept this saying, Jesus said, but only to those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs. Notice this. I think Jesus had a little bit of masculine humor here, perhaps, but he was also putting the monkey back on their back, as we say. He said, there are eunuchs who were born from their mother's womb this way, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. You know that has happened down through time. And there are eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. They simply did without marriage in order to better serve God. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. He's saying, look, fellas, if you can't accept the fact that when you're married to a young woman, you're bound to her for the rest of your life, except for this gross sexual immorality and one or two other reasons that we find instituted in the New Testament, desertion by the unconverted mate, and of course just fraud where people are found definitely lying and never intended to get married. He said, except for reasons that are directly biblical, you've got to stay married. You've got to stay married and don't play with it. And if you can't get married under those conditions, then go be a eunuch, fellas. And I don't think they like that. But Jesus' teaching was very strong. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Picture a young couple taking their wedding vows. Think of the hopes and dreams they have of family, children, security, and happiness. This is worth working for. This is worth persevering for. The joy and the fulfillment in marriage when you have a happy home and you come home and your wife is fixing a meal and you smell that meal, or maybe you smell the brownies as you walk in the front door, and the house is clean and the food is ready, and you have this fellowship, this companionship, this lovely companion for the rest of your life who helps you, backs you up, supports you. And you women have a husband who protects you, who provides for you, who loves you. And today many of the women have to work too and mutually help each other. But of course we ought to get back to that other way where the husband at least brings home more of the bacon if possible, as we say, and helps out and supports and mentally and emotionally supports his wife. These things are important, and God wants us to have that kind of home and that kind of family. Notice Malachi chapter 2 and beginning in verse 13, this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Eternal with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Why don't you hear us, O God? They're saying to God. And he says then, because the Eternal has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. How many men in the United States and Canada and elsewhere have dealt treacherously with the wives of their youth? I've talked to them personally over the last 46 years by the hundreds. And some men have even gone out from their wives on the honeymoon night, if you can possibly believe that. I've heard it, and I've seen the tears of the young women involved. What a treacherous, rotten attitude. And yet we have a nation of people that have never been taught the meaning of marriage. So he said, you've been treacherous against the wife of your youth, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. You made a covenant before the great God when you got married, or should have. But did he not make them one when he makes us man and wife, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Why does God institute marriage? Well, we know from the beginning he said it is not good for man to be alone. That's the main reason. It's not good for man or woman to be alone. We're not fully there. We're not all there, in a sense, without a mate to balance us, to help us, to make our life full, and to help our understanding of humanity be complete. We're not all there. It's not good for man to be alone. But this is the second reason. God gives that right here. Why did he make them one? He said he seeks a godly offspring. He makes marriage in order to have children grow up in a stable, happy, secure environment. Potential sons of the great God, all children are made in God's image, as all human beings are. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none of you deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Take heed to your spirit. God wants us not to have an attitude of bitterness and hate. So be sure not to become bitter or selfish in your marriage. Determined to make your marriage work. It can be done. At this point, I urge you to write or call for our brand new booklet entitled Build a Joyous Marriage. It'll be sent to you absolutely free, folks. No obligation. Absolutely free upon your request. So call or write today and request your free copy of our new booklet entitled Build a Joyous Marriage.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
And now back to our topic of joyous marriage. Notice again Malachi 2:16, the eternal God of Israel says he hates divorce, where he covers one's garment with violence. And he says, therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. So be sure you do everything you can to build a happy and lasting marriage and ask God's help to do this. If your wife is willing, if your mate is willing, learn to pray together about your marriage and ask God's help in this as well. Now the second key to joyous marriage is to practice heartfelt communication. I mean really open, heartfelt communication in your marriage. This is absolutely vital. Many, many wives have come to me over the years with tears in their eyes saying, my husband won't really talk to me. He doesn't share anything with me. I almost feel like I'm living with a stranger. I've heard this over and over, folks, I really have. You macho guys out there, I know you want to be the strong, silent type, but you've got to get over that strong, silent type approach. That will destroy your marriage. It's selfish and it's vain to clam up and to withhold yourself from your mate, to withhold your thoughts and hopes and dreams from your wife or from your husband, but mainly it's a masculine problem. So open up. Let your wife be a vital part of your life. At this point, I want to read to you a very insightful description about this very problem. This description I'm going to read is contained in a very, very beautifully written book by a Swiss psychiatrist, Dr. Paul Tournier. I don't quote from books very often on this program, as you know, but I think this is so well written, I'd like to read it in this man's word. Dr. Tournier was a Swiss psychologist who was a very sincere religious man, believed in God, obviously, and a very thoughtful man, undoubtedly a very kind man. He's not alive now, but I honor him for writing this book. It's called To Understand Each Other. Very important book. And on page 15 of this book, it's entitled, My Husband is a Mysterious Island, Dr. Tournier writes here. He says, for many couples, it is almost with pain that they recall the days of courtship. At that time, they appear to understand each other. Why is that? Because they talked to each other. They opened up to one another. They found great pleasure in understanding and in being understood. The frankness of one evoked the openness of the other. You know, that's true. You really open up and the other person opens up. I've got to kind of expound this for Dr. Tournier. It's so well written here, but I want to explain it even then. The man was discovering the real person of his fiancée. She felt understood by him and he by her. Remember that, you guys, when you were courting your wife? You had plenty to talk about then, didn't you? You didn't clam up. He continues, some couples no longer talk together at all. I have known some who would go for weeks without saying a word. It engenders a horrible atmosphere in the home. Just think how children grow up where at the meal table, one of the parents never speaks, whereas the other, in an attempt to fill the atrocious vacuum, never ceases babbling on. Courtship's beautiful curiosity has been lost, Dr. Tournier writes. The thirst for discovery and for understanding has been dried up. And indeed, that often happens. The husband believes that now he does understand his wife. And at the first word from her lips, he makes a little sign of exasperation, which means, you're still telling me the same old story? In the face of such a reaction, how can the other dare express herself? Yet the less she expresses herself, the less she will be understood. The less she feels understood, the more she will withdraw into herself. The thrill of discovery has been lost. If you think that you know your wife or your husband, it is because you've given up the real attempt to discover him or her. The difference between the image you've made of him and what he really is will grow ever deeper. Think about these thoughts. This is a wonderful expression. I'd like to read the whole book to you. You can get it on your own. It's not any book that I'm associated with. I get no commission, but I think it's very, very well put about this thing of communication in marriage. Indeed, we must open up our hearts to our mates. If we are to be truly one, we've got to do that. Even the Son of God did this to a great extent with his own disciples. The Son of God. And notice how Jesus Christ opened up, and you may not have thought it this way, but this same attitude applies to marriage. John 15 in your New Testament, turn there, and this will tell you that. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing." Like a lot of wives don't know what their husband is doing. The husband never tells them about his work, never tells them about what he's planning and doing for the future of their marriage or their family or certainly his career. See, Jesus said that a servant doesn't know that. A slave, a bond slave back at that time. But a wife should not be thought of as like that, but as a full partner in the marriage. "But I have called you friends," Jesus said to these young men who are his disciples. "For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Think about that. Jesus opened up. He told them all things that he had heard about the whole purpose of human existence, about the way of life, about, you know, the coming prophecies. Everything he shared with them. And we've got to share it with our mates. Open our hearts and minds. Share our plans, our hopes, our dreams. Share all those things and give of ourselves to our mates in that way. Please do it, folks. You'll be very grateful that you did. The third key to joyous marriage is to learn to be a giver. Learn to be a giver in marriage. This is one of the most beautiful and meaningful statements of Jesus Christ, as a matter of fact, about giving that I'm going to quote. And you've heard this from me before, but it's so important. I'm going to use it here because it has to do with marriage, perhaps more than any other relationship. Notice Acts 20 and verse 35 in your New Testament. We'd have never been given this beautiful saying, apparently, unless Paul gave it years later. It's not in the Gospels, but God inspired Paul during the 3 years he was in Arabia, taught directly by Christ. He perhaps heard Jesus give this teaching. He said, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this," because Paul supported himself a lot of the time, and served, "that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus," here they are, "that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, most people think you've got to get, you know, looking out for number one, all this attitude. And yet there is a great God who guides the affairs of men and nations, and he will back up his word. You've got to come to know that that God is real, and he will back up that word. And he will bless you. He will bless you, the great blesser, the creator, if you learn to give. And the very way our minds and hearts are made, you'll often be given back by others if you learn to give. Are you a giver in your marriage? Or do you take affection? Do you take kindness and service from your mate without giving back very much in return? Think about how you can give a happy marriage to this other human being to whom you're married. How can you encourage them more? How can you smile at them more? How can you share with them more? How can you love them more? And love is not just sexual passion. It's outflowing concern and kindness and mercy and tenderness and patience. How can you love them more? And how can you serve them in every way? In marriage, above all other situations, it's vital that you remember to obey Jesus Christ's instruction. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the fourth key, the final key to make your marriage joyous is this. Fear God and honor Him in your marriage. Fear God and honor Him, the great God, in your marriage. Remember that God is the one who made us male and female. He created marriage in the first place. And so you've got to honor God in your marriage. Think about it, and God will bless your marriage. You've got to know that God is real and He's involved in your life. Now, notice the meaning of marriage as described by God Himself more fully in this passage than anywhere else. God inspired the Apostle Paul in this inspired book to describe the meaning, the pattern of marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Now, that's not very popular to talk about today, in the days of women's lib and all this, but God gets to the men here pretty strong later. But He does tell wives to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. In other words, the husband is put by God, other scriptures tell us, continually, consistently, as the head of the home. And the wives should say, "Yes, sir," and honor their husbands and respond to him in a loving and right way, unless, of course, the husband tells them to do something dishonest or disloyal or directly to break the commands or laws of God. And certainly other scriptures indicate that. So as the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, he says, and he is the Savior of the body. So we're to teach and to practice this principle in our life, that a wife should submit to her husband and they're to be one in their respect and love and serve one another. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives." You see, now he gets to the husbands. Love your wives. Again, love is not just sexual passion. It might include that, but that's not what you do all day long. All day long you give, you help. You're merciful, you're tender, you're encouraging, you serve one another. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ laid down his life for the church. And if a husband were that kind of a leader, giving, helping, serving, laying down his life, the average woman would want with all of her heart to follow that kind of a man, to follow that kind of a leader, because God made it that way and made her nature that way. And I've seen that in the hundreds and hundreds of people I've counseled through the years. College students, young couples, old couples, all over the United States, Canada, Britain, and Australia, and even for a couple of weeks in South Africa. Yes, human nature is pretty much the same everywhere. And so God tells us this, "Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church." You want to protect your wife, to help your wife, to build your wife. Give your wife a happy marriage, you men. Build her up. Take care of her physically. Provide for her the right kind of home and good food and see that she gets her exercise, her sleep, her rest, her encouragement, the things she needs to make her life full. Help her to go out and encourage her to go out and build her mind, build her body, her personality, her character. Help her and build her up in every way you can. That should be holy and without blemish. Talking about the church. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. See, he's part of you. He who loves his wife loves himself. Of course, she's part of you, as I say. For no one ever hated his own flesh. Boy, you take care of yourself. If you hit your big toe with a hammer, you know, what happens? Your eyes bulge out, your breath expires, you bend over, your shoulders get into action, your back gets into action, you reach down, you grab for that big toe. That big toe becomes precious in your sight all of a sudden. What about your wife? Let her be precious in your sight in that way and much more. That's the attitude we should have. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she respects, that she deeply respects her husband. Learn to practice in marriage the love and loyalty that we all should show Christ for all eternity. Love and loyalty to one another. It pictures the relationship of Christ and the church. You've got to learn that. Think about that lesson. And again, be sure to call or write for our outstanding free booklet on joyous marriage. It will spell out for you the keys to a truly fulfilling marriage. This booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. And by the way, along with this booklet, we will send you absolutely free a copy of Tomorrow's World magazine, our beautiful magazine that tells you the whole purpose of human existence and the meaning of Bible prophecy. So write or call and you'll get the booklet, and also you'll get a free copy, absolutely free, of Tomorrow's World magazine.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
And tune in to Tomorrow's World program each week at this same time. Richard Ames and I will be explaining to you the real meaning of today's news in the light of Bible prophecy. We will explain the real purpose of life and how your life can be a genuine success. So I hope you'll tune in. We have things on this program to offer you that you never get anywhere else. Most of you know this, but understand that you're going to get details from the Bible and from Bible prophecy and the whole meaning of human existence that you probably will never get anywhere else. And we challenge you to prove these things. Check up on us. Get these booklets that we offer. Write in for Tomorrow's World magazine. Read and study this. And be sure that you understand why you were born, what your life is all about, and understand the great meaning of world events. So be sure that you follow us on this program every single week. Make time. Get up. Set your VCR. If the program comes on early in the morning, you can hear it later on. But make the effort, because you're going to get information here that you do not get anyplace else. And I hope you appreciate that. We want to establish a relationship with you where we can help you. We love you. We happen to have the truth. Who gives you the right to be right, some will say. That's their problem. You prove it, and you will find that we are teaching you the whole purpose of human existence in a way that is probably unavailable anywhere else. So be sure that you tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program and come to understanding. We'll see you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579, or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.